This is Graham Atwell welcoming you to Sounds of the Bazaar, live internet radio, live from Bremen, live from the Bremen Mobile Learning Conference. For those of you who weren't around for yesterday's programme, which incidentally you can now pick up on the internet, I'll just tell you a little bit about what the conference is all about. It's a two-day conference being organised by Pontedusky, together with the University of Bremen and the Institute of Education in London through the London Mobile Learning Group. And it's really, it's about 100 people here. It's pretty intense discussions looking at both the theory and the practice of using different mobile devices and different mobile technologies for learning. And it's been a great conference, absolutely fabulous conference. And we're going to be talking to some of the people whose contributions especially caught our eye, or some of the people we talked to last night after the official conference session. We've got some great things to say. We've got them coming on the programme today. A last bit about the venue where we're broadcasting from. We're on the balcony overlooking the main seating area in Youth Hostel Bremen. It's a truly fabulous building. A lot of modern architectural design gone into it. And it's a beautiful location overlooking the River Weser, this terrace, and the conference. I don't know if it's micromanagement by the conference organisers, but the weather, it's been fairly terrible in Bremen this year. Suddenly on Sunday turns sunny, and we've got a gorgeous sunny day today. The sun's just shining off the river. Anyway, I'll stop talking now because we've got so many great guests lined up. We're going to go for a short musical break. Dirk Stieglitz, as ever, is producing the programme. And then Jenny Hughes will be back doing the interviews today, talking to Helen Keegan, who wowed the audience today, this morning, with an absolute fabulous keynote presentation. So hang in there. We'll be back soon.
It's hard to know when you find her in bed. At night she's looking wide awake at all the things she wants to do. But halfway through the afternoon, she always falls asleep too soon. Her house is full of broken clocks. She keeps deeply inside a box. I wonder how she can be so scary.
Okay, we're coming back, and I'm passing over to Jenny Hughes now, who's talking to Helen Keegan.
Hi, this is Jenny Hughes. Helen.
Yes, hello, Jenny.
Why is it whenever we meet, we've got a microphone between us? This has got to get better.
It has to stop.
I know, it's so sad. Anyway, I've got this really bad confession to make.
Mm.
I missed your session this morning.
Shame on you.
Amazing build-up from Graham, right? I've told Graham I was ill. I think I was probably just a little the worse for wear.
No problem.
So can you just give me the highlights of this morning's session that I missed?
Okay, well, I was talking about mobile phone filmmaking, and it's something I've been working on for a few years now with my students, who are very techie students. So it's really interesting working with them because they're used to kind of high-end equipment and very much rule-governed sort of behaviour. And using a very small screen takes all that away from them. So it really puts them in quite an uncomfortable place.
Mm. It's like being stripped naked, isn't it?
Absolutely. The things that generally work don't work. But it's fantastic because it really pushes them to explore the technology and to work around the constraints of the technology. And so they come up with some fantastic films, some really creative work. So basically, for the first half of the keynote, we kind of looked at mobile filmmaking as a genre, looked at different types of films, and broke that down into kind of five areas, which we then looked at in terms of their relevance and use within the classroom. So authenticity.
I read that bit. I can remember those bits.
Okay, we looked at the intimate, the democratic aspects of the medium. It was really good fun. It was great to look at all the films, and people seem to really enjoy it, so I'm very happy. And it's always great to show off students' work.
And do you know the first thing that happened when I staggered in this morning? I went up on the roof garden, and I've been told, I can't say why, but I was talking to some really great people up there. I butted into their conversation, and they were really enjoying talking about your session this morning. That was the conversation I joined in. And they had this long discussion about a tunnel and a girl and a hand. Tell me a bit more about that.
Right, okay. That's a film called Fear Thy Not by a French filmmaker called Sophie Sherman. And it was one of the winners of the Paris Pocket Film Festival, I think, in 2008. And it's a really powerful film. It's only a minute long, and it's a single-shot film. And it's just of a girl walking through a tunnel, being led kind of by her own hand, and singing a song to herself to calm herself down as she's sort of going through this very stressful situation. It's a really powerful piece, and I chose that to show because it worked really well with some of the other films that I showed, which are more kind of light-hearted or crowdsourced. We looked at a real range of films in order to kind of, you know, unpack the genre and understand what is it about pocket cinema that is so engaging.
Okay, one of the things that was being discussed this morning in the unconferencing session on the roof, Stefan was wondering what the educational objectives are. What are the educational outputs? Is it specific to that group of students and what they're doing? Is it generalizable?
I think mobile phone filmmaking can serve multiple purposes according to context, but the main driver with the students I'm working with is to get them to develop an open and flexible mindset in preparation for future technological shifts. So it's not about training them how to use technology A, technology B, and thinking a certain way. It's about them being comfortable with the fact that technologies can change practice. So that's the main driver in my contacts.
That's brilliant. Stefan, I hope that answers. I hope you're listening, because that's a great answer. One more question. Where are you going next? Because every time I see you with a microphone, you're doing something new, something different. So what's next on the Helen Keegan plan?
You know what? I think I'm actually... this is my last talk. It's been a crazy 6 weeks, and now I'm just going to really look forward to relaxing for a bit. So I don't know what's happening next. I've not thought beyond April.
And what's happening in April?
Sleep.
Helen, thanks very much indeed.
Okay, you're listening to Sounds of the Bazaar. That's a great interview. Musical break now, and then we'll be going to be talking to some medical students. Over to you, Dad.
She's upside down. Start to go on the date. He booked a nice table for 8. When she got in the restaurant past midnight in around the piano, I want to ask her when she wants to bet she can.
Welcome back. You're listening to Sounds of the Bazaar, and we've moved from our balcony now, and we're into the main eating area for the conference in this beautiful, beautiful canteen overlooking the River Weser. And Jenny's got herself sat down with a group of medical students, and I'm not sure what they're going to be talking about, but I'm looking forward to finding out. Over to you, Jenny.
I have no idea what they're going to say either, but I'm just following up, okay? I was talking to Julia yesterday, Julia Luxton, who was the person in Leeds who was responsible for introducing mobile technology across faculties. These are some of the students, real students at a proper conference. A bit subversive. Okay, before we do anything else, can you just give me your names?
It's Alice.
Alice.
Catherine.
Helen.
And Prab.
Okay, we haven't got any men here. Is this deliberate? I'm not bothered, you understand, but, you know... Yeah, okay, so the men have run away, no surprises there. What I really want to do is to find out what impact using mobile technology has actually had on the education that you're getting in Leeds. I mean, what does it do? How does it work?
Well, it's really useful because it has the internet, so we're always able to look things up when we're in placement and in the clinics. It's also good because we now have books that are part of the iPhone, so we've got things like the BNF and other clinical handbooks that we can look.
What's a BNF?
British National Formulary. It's about like drugs and things and looking at what doses and things you give. So that's really useful to have that when you're on the ward.
So somebody else, how do you use it?
Like, for example, getting to places, because we're all over kind of the Yorkshire area in England, like, we don't know where many of the practices are, so we look at, like, to find practice first of all in the morning, so that's been really useful, to organise our time, so a lot of the students use it as organisational too, like, when, where we're meant to be, because we have lectures and tutorials all over the place, and because we're in different placements, everyone's doing different things, so it's quite good to have everything kind of on one system that you can look at on the go all the time.
What sort of phones do you actually use? I'm quite interested in this, because a lot of people can say, yes, but all students don't have top-end mobiles.
It's an iPhone 3GS. So we also got a really good deal on our contract. So if you wanted to swap your contract with O2, then we could do that. And I think we got £100 cash back, which was quite good. So I use it as my main phone as well. So I take my calls on it.
Is this something that the university organised for you?
Yeah.
Given the iPhones.
Yeah, so we all got free iPhones.
So what year are you in at the moment? Year four? Is that clinical year?
Yeah.
And have you been at Leeds since year one?
Yeah, we all started out first year and worked our way through. The fourth and fifth years have been given iPhones, and I think they're looking at maybe giving them to the third years, but just fourth and fifth currently. And we have to hand them back at the end.
That's a shame. So this is it's actually something that you've not been using for very long, about 2 years?
I think about 8 or 9 months. Since last September we got given them, and they're sort of seeing how it goes and introducing the books. They took slightly longer to come through than they'd hoped, but they're there now and we can use them now.
Yeah. Is there any student you know of that's actually finding it difficult to do this, or has everybody just adopted the technology really easily?
I think a few people found it difficult because they already had contracts on other mobiles, so they're having to sort of juggle two phones at once. There were a few teething problems in the beginning, but I think most people have got over those now and are sort of quite happy using the phones.
Is this something, I can see exactly how it relates to the practice, to your practice. Is this something you think can be rolled out to all students at the university?
I don't know. I think it depends on what you're doing, because for us, because we're always in placements, always quite hands-on with everything we're doing. Yes, we do kind of, the iPhones have been useful for us, but if you kind of go to like a math student to give the iPhones to them, maybe like if you've got the technology to give them like the podcasts on their iPhones so they don't have to go to lectures, they can have the lectures at home or while they're like at the bus stop or something, maybe it would be useful. But I think it's a different type of, it's different for everyone, like what their needs are.
Just one. Probably adapt it to most of the different subjects that people are studying, I think. Although some maybe not so relevant, but definitely some of them you can have textbooks and things on the phone, so that would be really useful. So I think you could, if you had the money to roll out that kind of thing.
Given that you're nearer to school age than anybody else in this conference by a long way, in fact, looking around at most of them, where's John Traxler, where's Graham Atwell, who are hundreds of years past school age, I do a lot of work with kids in schools using mobiles, okay? What do you think about kids having mobile phones in school? Like, were they banned in your school? Did you use them?
In my school, they were banned. So I didn't have a smartphone until I was given the iPhone. So for me, it took a while to get used to the technology, whereas younger children, if they've got them now, they'll obviously utilise it more, be a bit more kind of tech-savvy and know what to do with them. So in future, if you didn't want to implement more technology with them, they'll already have kind of the basics of what they need to know, whereas for us, we kind of have to work from that basics now and work our way up to be able to use it.
Anybody else got any ideas about schools and mobile phones?
I think when we were at school, mobiles were not seen as that. They were much more about texting and phone calling, and now they can be used for so many other things with smartphones that I think that they are much more useful in school. Probably when we were in school, they weren't so useful, but now with the new kind of generation, I think that they are really useful and they can be used for education.
So you'd be happy with opening up mobile phone technology in schools and classrooms?
I'm not sure, actually. I don't know. I think it might break down communication a bit and relationships between teacher and school child. Also, I don't know, maybe if some children can't afford it and then, or they just can't really work out how to use it, it could be a bit.
Okay, so opinions are mixed there. I'm going to leave it at that because there's lots more guests lined up for you this afternoon. Thank you very much for talking to me. It was great to have a student perspective on this. This is the first one we've had. Thank you very much. And good luck with your studies.
You're listening to Sounds of the Bazaar live the Sounds of the Sun, the Sounds of Bremen, the Sounds of the Bremen Mobile Learning Conference, Sounds of the Bazaar.
My pussycat is everybody's cat. You've got to get that right to understand my story. Mother, she told me, good girl, don't do that. They don't let a pussycat play with anybody. Everyone used to know me in my neighborhood. I had as many friends as I could. In the old days, you had to pay good money so you could come and play until the night was over. And every Saturday, the day after payday, I used to have a crowd of little cat lovers. The local girls in town never spoke with me.
And that was the first bad break we've done. We've been very smooth up to now, but I didn't have my microphone on. I'm handing over to Jenny Hughes now, who's going to be talking about mobile learning in Peru.
All I can see is Graham Atwell outside a window laughing at me because I can't hear anything that's going on in the studio space that we've got. I'm in the canteen. I'm sitting next to Ancha. Have I got that right?
Yes.
Okay, I met Ancha last night in the bar, and she was telling me about some amazing stuff that she's been doing in Peru with the One Laptop Per Child initiative. So maybe she can tell you about it too.
I did a qualitative study on the project One Laptop Per Child in Peru. I visited some villages where the laptops were implemented and tried to find out more or less what is the impact so far in the teaching patterns and as well in the community. So I was trying to focus on educational and on cultural implications.
So tell us what you found out, because these are the questions that everybody's asking.
Yeah, well, it's not so easy to say. Everybody's asking me, so what do you think about the project? And, well, I can say in Peru there's lack of many things and the organization doesn't really work, so the overall impression of the project was a little bit disappointing, but I saw some really, really nice and interesting examples in the villages.
Can you just give me some examples of what you saw?
I met, for example, one teacher who used the video and audio recording activity to make her students record themselves while learning Spanish. They were speaking native languages. And she said it really improved their learning because they would, for the first time, hear their mistakes. So it's more than just a teacher telling you, oh, this is wrong. It's hearing yourself and then reflecting on and improving yourself better. Or I was in some classes where there was just one teacher for all grades from 1 to 6. And for them, it's really helpful because they can have 2 grades, for example, occupied with some task, can even be a game, while explaining something to the others. So there is, of course, useful sites in the project.
So what are the downsides? I mean, what are some of the problems that the teachers have experienced, if any?
Well, the teachers do have big problems because a lot of them, they're not used to using computers, so all the interface, the software, they need to learn from zero. So I was participating in some teacher courses as well, and there they just have 1 or 2 days or even a week, which is not enough to understand the whole system and then try to apply it educationally. So, well, this is one of the main problems, and there's no internet. So software updates, there's no networking. It's really hard for the teachers because a lot of them are so isolated. They stay in the village where they teach away from their families, and when they get to the city to their families, they don't spend all their time in internet cafes to update themselves. So that's a big problem too. There's lack of guidelines. the ministry doesn't really provide good materials. So, yeah, well, there's a lot of problems, but also I met some really engaged people who try to overcome all these problems.
For most of us, one laptop per child is the sort of thing that we see at conferences and exhibitions. I mean, I've seen the machine. Are they still bright green, by the way?
Yes.
They had orange ones as well. Do you think, I mean, given this is a mobile learning conference, do you think the one laptop per child initiative is actually going to die a death because of the growth of mobile technologies?
I think so, because, well, the hardware that's there now is, well, the software is buggy still, the hardware is not so robust as they say, it does break, and I think it's not lasting long enough. So, for example, what I saw in Peru, it's been there since 2008, more or less, and right now they're starting to do things. So, yeah, it's too slow, the development. And I think also in the villages, well, it's not possible to do a one-to-one distribution for all. So what they're doing now is computer laboratories with the same laptops, but I think for that purpose, you need different devices. It's not working well with those. And I think also what's coming more is mobile phones, especially in that context.
Okay, Anke, thanks for that. That's probably one of the most interesting talks I've had with anybody, really, because I've never actually met anybody who's actually worked on one laptop per child projects. So back over to Dirk, who's going to play us some music, and then I think I'm just going to walk around the queues finding out what people think of this conference.
Welcome back to Sounds of the Bazaar on Saturday. Our half hour is nearly over, but Jenny, who's on the wind-up, is going to be talking to some of the participants in the conference. Over to you, Jen.
Well, the participants don't actually know I'm going to do this, so all I'm doing is just attacking people as they're sitting by the table, hoping to escape. Okay, can you tell me what your name is?
Michael Schulte.
You have to say that's Ah.
Michael Schulte.
Okay, Sven Schulte. And what are you doing at the conference? Where are you from?
I'm from Bremen, Germany. You know the town here. And I'm presenting a poster in perhaps 20 minutes. And besides this, I'm listening to some of the speeches and discussions.
Which one have you enjoyed the most? Which one have you learned so lot from?
It was yesterday, the school session. I listened to a few speeches from educational trainings that try to focus on project management with mobile learning in schools, and the second one was very similar.
Sven, thank you very much indeed. Right, I'm going to turn around now because I've got Stefan. Stefan, yeah. I was talking to you earlier.
Okay, yes.
So what are you doing out of the conference? What's making it happen?
Like the benefits I got out of the conference. Well, one of the most, I got to know John Potter from London, which was great. And so maybe we're working on setting up something together. And like with the talks, it was with every conference. Some were good, others were not as good. So, and probably the opportunity to have discussions between the sessions are one of the most valuable.
And what's
things.
One new thought you're taking away with you from this conference? Something new that you've learned?
Get rid of the Twitter wall.
Okay, and because John's standing here, and I was talking to him earlier, John, tell us about the conference. What was it like for you?
It's been great, and it's been the opportunity to cross boundaries and to get media people talking to technologists and vice versa. It really has been about crossing boundaries, so yeah, it's been fun, really good, and I met some nice new people as well, and it's good to be part of a different kind of community than I would normally be presenting to, so it's been really good.
That's excellent. Do you want to do a little puff, a little advert for your Nottingham conference?
Oh yeah, look out for a call for papers for the Media Literacy Conference 2011, which is being run by the Media Education Association, and it's its second annual conference in Nottingham in November. So there'll be a call on the various ICT and media mailing lists in the next couple of weeks. So look out for that and hope to see you there.
I hope to be there too. John, thank you very much indeed. I'm just going to interrupt another conversation now, which is terribly rude of me, but can I just talk to you for 2 minutes? I know. They all laugh when I appear. It's Lucia?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And where are you from, Lucia?
I'm from Hamburg. I'm working in Hamburg at the university.
Okay. What do you do?
I'm working at the Department of Education and with a special focus on media education.
Has the conference been useful to you?
Yes, so far. Yeah, I didn't attend this morning, so I just arrived. And
but you were here yesterday?
Yes, I was.
What was your favorite session yesterday? What was the thing that made it work for you yesterday?
Yesterday we made a workshop, so we organized it, and I think it was pretty interesting for me. So I knew the ones who were presenting, so I was already prepared for that, but it was a very nice discussion. So yes, it was.
So it's worked for you, this conference, and you'll be here next year? Will you be here next year?
Oh, probably, hopefully. I didn't.
Great, talk to you then. Right, who else have I got? Oh, I know, I've got Luca Deitmer. It's about time I talk to Luca on the microphone because he usually escapes. Luca.
Yes, hello.
You can do better than this, Luca. You're now live on Sounds of the Bazaar. Tell me about this conference, what you learned from it.
A lot, I think. It's a very inspiring, very interesting, good presentations, and picking up some new stuff, for me new in that sense, from the London Mobile Learning Group and some of the people. But it's also just networking, meeting people. Just I'm talking here with these Turkish colleagues, exchanging ideas, getting into touch with each other, and then really trying to understand what makes mobile learning. I think it's a very new topic. It's very new topic. It's so the discussion is very easy to make because a lot of ideas are on the market, and it's nice to pick them up and get around.
And is this something that the ETB in Bremen is looking to introduce?
Yes, of course. Partly we do some of these kind of projects, but clearly I'm not here just to present something, just to, let's say, receive something more or less, and to pick out something and learn something, nevertheless, in the most sense. Yeah.
Luca, thanks very much. Could you introduce me to the people you were talking to when I interrupted?
This is two persons from Turkey. You introduce
them. Hang on a minute, I'm just tipping somebody's coffee over here. Sorry, could I have your name?
Özlem. I'm Özlem, PhD student at Anadolu University. I'm coming from Turkey, and I'm working on mobile learning as a PhD thesis. This conference is very nice. People sharing everything, and everyone is here. Nobody leaves for touristic events, so it's very nice.
And what are the key bits, key messages that you're taking away with you?
It is hard question. it's very developing area, and the new way of the learning. So a lot of research is needed in this area, and I saw new trends. So I'm collect them and bring to my country these all the new trends.
Basically, we need more young researchers doing PhDs into mobile learning. Okay, I think we haven't got any more time. Graham is waving his arms around.
We are indeed sadly out of time. It's been a great 2 days, two great days broadcasting. Thanks to Judith and thanks to Klaus and Eileen, who put so much work into organising this conference. Thanks to all the student helpers who have been helping us get this broadcast together and helping the conference run smoothly. Thanks to co-producer Jenny Hughes, who's been absolutely fabulous, pinning people into corners, threatening them, people trying to run away, not a chance, and getting them while they're eating. And Dirk, who has sat behind the deck, twiddling with the knobs, making sure the sound's as good as it can be, although even he can't compensate for me talking with my microphone turned off, although we will on the podcast version. So that's it from this edition of Sounds of the Bazaar. We'll be back online very, very soon on this channel. We're not going away. More audio goodness from Sounds of the Bazaar.
My husband goes and pulls them, just feel and shoot. Oh, darling, I can get
some. Sounds of the Bazaar is produced and directed by Ponta Duske. Sounds of the Bazaar is licensed under a Creative Commons 3 license.